Ladies and gentlemen, I am back and I'm grateful. We'll talk about where I've been in another episode, but for now, we're going to play a little phone tag.
Shadow inventory, confidential files, missing persons, just another day as a note investor. Enter into the briefing chamber where you'll be privy to real estate's best kept secret straight from the undercover officers. Welcome to Note Inc. with your leader in espionage, Zarina Harris.
You know, one thing I was thinking is that Chauncey, who's the guy who just introduced you to the podcast, but will not be featured on this episode. So, wah wah, cry to your mama. Chauncey talks about these conversations in the briefing chamber. And I realize that this briefing chamber is really just me talking to my fellow colleagues, my friends in the note space. And I never record these conversations. They have never been featured on this podcast. So I figured it's as good a time as any when I'm reintroducing myself to my audience. Hello, you new folks, and hello, you OGs. That I feature one of these incidents that I have. See, when you're a friend of mine, you're also my victim, meaning I will call you randomly to ask a random question just to see what your answer is. And that's what I did this morning. I called up 8 of my friends and I asked them 2 rather important questions for my hypothesis. The questions are, 1, are you a note investor? And 2, are you doing deals? Now, because this is random, I didn't write it down. So each time I ask this question, it was slightly different from the last conversation that I have. And in that slight difference, there's a lot of nuance in the answers that I got, which I think you will benefit from. But to set you up, let me give you the background. So I, by no choice of my own, which will be featured in a future episode, had to take 2022 off from note investing. Everything was off the table except thinking. See, I had a lot of time to think about the market, where the market was going, what I saw happening, what my friends were kind of going through in their own personal businesses, or lack thereof, right? So when you have time to nerd out on notes like I do, and all you're doing is thinking and ruminating on things, sometimes you can get what's called wrapped around the axle. You don't know if what you're thinking is actually really happening. It's just kind of like, oh, I have this theory. So what I decided to do was I was like, is this in my head or is it real? And the only way to know is to ask people who are in the space. So that's what I did. I called up 8 friends of mine. They're all involved in different aspects of the business. Some of them run hedge funds. Some of them are seller financers, like they create their own paper. Some of them are non-performing. Some of them are performing investors. Some of them have been in the mortgage side of the space and happen to know about notes. Some of them are in more real estate. They wholesale, they fix and flip, they do rentals. So there's a wide range of perspectives here. So I'm going to involve you in sort of the way I sprung this question on some of them. And when I say sprung, I mean literally, except for one person, none of these people have heard from me in the year 2023. It is April, okay? Almost May. And they haven't heard from me all year. So the fact that they even picked up, I guess I should be grateful, right? Oh, and before we get to that, understand, I was recording on my cell phone, so the quality is not that good, but the conversations and what we got to was great. So let's just roll the intros and how I even set all of this up. Let's just go through and see who picks up the phone or even knows my number anymore. There we go. Oh, very nice ring.
Morning.
Good morning to you. You there?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Phone tag, you're it.
That's how it works. Serena, oh my God. How are you doing, Lady Harris?
Kenneth.
Oh my God.
How you doing?
What's up, Serena?
What's up? I got 2 questions. This is a totally random phone call on a Tuesday, but I'm getting answers that I need for my hypothesis.
Go for it.
So I'm doing a quick poll through my Rolodex. I got to ask you 2 questions. You want to play?
Sure.
Okay. So question
number... Hello, team 2.
Hello, how you doing? I already know the answer to this question, but I decided to call you with my phone game this morning anyway.
Okay.
So I'm asking everybody this same question. You ready for it?
Okay, I'm ready.
Now, the first question I asked them was really just a throwaway question. I asked them, are you a note investor? And really, it was just to clarify for all of you that these are real people and not paid actors, because as some of you know, I've paid people to be characters on this podcast before. However, because I didn't write it down, I asked it slightly differently depending on who I was calling. And because of that, I got some very interesting responses that I think you guys might like to hear. So, let's hear them. So, I am doing a thing. I've got a theory, and I'm calling up my Rolodex friends, my note investor friends, to see if they can answer two questions for me. You want to play?
Sure, oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean.
Do you mind if I ask you these two questions?
Sure, yeah. I just need to know when the pizza's going to be delivered.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Question number one is, do you consider yourself to be a note investor or someone who knows about notes?
Yes. I would say that, yes.
Yes.
Obviously, right?
Well, I think I've bought a few. I'll say I'm a note investor.
Do you consider yourself to be a note investor or someone who knows about notes?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, I'm in the process of retooling.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I know notes. I know notes.
Yeah, we've had this discussion where I don't do enough of it sometimes because you always say that there's that category of people who play in the space but aren't really note investors. I'd like to think I am. I am doing it, but maybe not at the rate other people do. But I would say, in the great scheme of things, yes, because like you said, it has to do with what you're looking at when you're looking at properties or opportunities. So I would say I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say I am. Yeah.
Well, currently, just someone who knows about notes.
Okay. That moment when you record a whole section and find out that your microphone was on mute. Anyway, those responses were not what I was expecting at all, and it made me laugh on a few of them. It was actually just a clarifying question, just so you guys knew that these people aren't actors. But yeah, it was interesting, right? However, it's kind of triggered something in me, and I would love to hear your response on this. info@noting.com. Does buying a note make you a note investor? Do you feel like people who have bought deals are note investors and people who have not bought deals are not note investors? Despite education, we're just talking about buying deals and being active. Does that make you a note investor? I would love to hear your opinion about that. I have my opinion, but I'm going to keep it to myself here on this podcast because I don't feel like sharing that. Anyhow, moving on. So this next section is actually the question. It's the main question that I had when I thought to call all these people up on some random Tuesday morning. And the question is, are you doing deals or are you doing deals right now? But in order to get to why in the world would you call up 8 random people and ask them if they're doing deals right now, what is the purpose of that? I have to give you a little bit of context. Now, many of you may or may not know that I am a note nerd, and I study the market a lot. In fact, I've studied the market from the time that it started in the 1930s. So I have a wide range of information in history about how this market works. However, specifically starting in the 80s, I really made an effort to try and find the different cycles of the market. Starting in the 1980s, I can identify times of boom and bust. So boom is obviously when performing loans are the best things to do and make you the greatest profits. And a bust is obviously when those things go belly up and non-performing loans, actually, or defaulted loans, troubled loans, become the next hot thing. Now, we've had a few of them since the 1980s. So I call the boom periods, the time where performing is best, I call that a blue cycle. And then in the bust, where non-performing loans are the bee's knees, those are red markets, right? So we obviously went through a red market with 2008, huge housing crash, right? However, that ended somewhere around 2016. Now, many of you don't know that. Why? Because people kept buying non-performing loans in 2016. And market shifts are, sometimes they're drastic, but most of the time they're fairly subtle. So 2016 and 2017 and 2018, people were still buying non-performing loans, albeit the price of those loans kept going up and up and up. So fast forward to 2020 in the pandemic, you had 7 million people raise their hand and say, hey, I need a forbearance. And what did that do for non-performing loan investors and the gurus too? They said, oh, here's another 2008. We're going to have this avalanche, this mountain of non-performing loans coming down. Everything's going to be saved. No more buying for 70, 75 cents on the dollar. It's here. Let's just wait it out and wait for these things to drop. And there was one little lonely voice crying out in the wilderness, which is me. And I said, nah, it's not going to happen. And folks really didn't listen, but I made my case anyway. And that case was, hey, just because people are raising their hands for forbearance, the context or the trajectory of this market has been blue, and it will go back to blue very, very quickly. So at best, I called it like a red blip, but we had record low, I mean record low default in January of 2020. So what do you do? Automatically just say, hey, that's going to go away. Everybody's going to default on their loans. No, not really. I felt the forbearances were just a precaution, just in case folks lost their jobs. And as it played out, the people who were really in trouble were actually renters. By April of 21, the loans had pretty much gone through forbearance and said, oh, I really didn't need it, or hey, I've paid that off and we're back to normal. And I think by July, the default kept going down. It met where it met in January of 2020, and it kept decreasing. You get to April of 22, or was it March? Spring, let's say, right? Late winter, early spring of 2022, and we hit 2.8% default, which is the lowest ever on record, meaning that, 97.2% of all loans that were being serviced were paying on time. It's never happened before. That is a very strong mortgage market. So what happens when you have 97%+ performing loans? You don't have a lot of non-performing loans, right? And when you don't have a lot of non-performing loans, they get really, really expensive. So because I saw this in 2020, of course, I didn't know how exactly it would play out, but I looked at the context. I said, we're in a blue market. It's going to stay blue. And there's a ton of equity. If anything happens, people are going to refinance. Huh, I was right about that. And when it went back to blue and people were kind of left holding the bag, like, hey, where's all my NPLs that I was prepping for? It made me think, not a lot of people are going to survive this next market. So that is the context of why I decided, hey, let's call my friends who haven't heard from me in a little while and ask them, are you doing deals right now? Here's what they said. Are you investing in notes right now?
No.
Second question, and you know you can elaborate, is are you actively investing in notes right now?
Yes.
Care to elaborate?
Can I elaborate? Well, we're doing creation and brokering and considering redeploying different capital to purchase and maybe hold a couple.
So you're doing seller finance stuff on your rehab?
All of the above. We're doing seller finance on rehabs. We're doing creation for others in the area. I am listing actively things for seller finance. I have a note in foreclosure still, et cetera, et cetera.
Are you actively buying and or selling notes right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
No.
Well, okay. The answer is no. I'm not. I'm not involved right now. And it was a combination of things, really, like the perfect storm. It was like COVID and the rising expense of assets in general. So I was just like, I'm good.
Would you say that you are actively buying and selling notes right now?
Yes, if somebody will get back to me on two of them.
Oh, yeah? Are you actively buying and selling notes right now?
Technically, yes. Yeah, yes. So the answer for your survey is yes.
Would you say that you're actively involved right now with investing in notes?
Not buying. I've got one property right now that, Serena, we've got, I'm getting out of the landlord business of my last rental.
Okay.
Really kind of gone down this road with the burnout landlords. There's validity to that. Mm-hmm. I see it. Doing the seller financing, avoiding the taxes, and arbitraging the difference between the underlying note and what I've got. That's exactly what I want to do. Makes perfect sense. But the question is, will it work here? I've done everything to protect the buyer, but it's an education process. It's really uphill.
The question is, are you actively investing in notes right now?
No.
No. Okay. What year is this?
2023.
Okay. That's all I needed to know. Now, I don't know if you were paying attention, but I spoke to 8 people. 4 of the 8 said they are not actively buying and selling loans right now. 3 of them said, yeah, I'm still involved on the seller financing side. And then 1 said, yeah, I've got some bids in on a couple of notes. Hope they get back to me. Now, as far as all of those responses are concerned, I was surprised because here I am thinking, you know, I know I'm right. They're all going to say, no, I'm not actively buying and selling. So this went a bit differently in my head. But I admit, some of my personal experience is sort of skewing that outlook. So, yeah, there's a little bit of bias there. However, at the end of it, we have 50% of the people not buying. 37%, 37.5% of them are seller financing or they want to seller finance. And the rest are putting in bids on assets and hoping to close them. After I got off the phone with some of them, I was like, man, I really want to know why. Why aren't you buying? Because I was on the phone with some of them for like 2 minutes just to ask the questions, say hi, and goodbye. On a few of them, I was able to slow down just a hair and say, hey, why aren't you buying? 2 of them gave me really short answers and 2 gave me long answers. Let's go over the short answers right now. What do you think happened to the market? Why so many note investors aren't actively involved right now?
Inventory. Fear of the unknown and fear of what the market is.
Why do you think I got so many no's? Your opinion.
Because the market is not, it's not easy. The market wasn't ready. Capital switched. Capital moved to, basically straight real estate. But I think for the most part, everybody's afraid. They're afraid and they don't know enough to feel confident to continue.
Next, we're going to go over the 2 longer answers. Now, just to set you up here, these answers are longer, but they answer a deeper question of how an investor should be navigating this market. For context, both of these investors are active in the market right now. One is creating seller finance loans and holding them. And the other, he's not buying for himself. So he answered no when I said, hey, are you buying? But upon further investigation, he is purchasing assets for his fund, right? Because he has an obligation to his clients, his investors. Both of them are focused on performing loans. Now, I obviously didn't tell them to do that, but because they are active in the market and they're trying to move with the market, they know what they need to do in order to be profitable, and that's performing. So you should really pay attention to what they are saying about performing assets, and you may pick up some ideas for yourself how to pitch the investment to a potential client. Let's go through their answers, and we'll put some serious music on this one so you pay extra close attention.
We don't know what the stock market's going to do, especially with the insane election that's going to come up. You know, we don't know. I said, but we certainly know that if you buy a performing note, or if it's reperforming, or if it's a seller finance note, you know that if you've got a good borrower on the other end, that that mortgage payment won't go away, and it doesn't fluctuate the way a rent payment does. And it's the best way, in my opinion, to secure your money, because it's not as volatile. It just isn't.
So, I mean, and you know, the feds are not going to, you know, get into the market. They're not going to do any sort of QE stuff, because we're already got rampant inflation. We've got rampant deficits. And so people are looking for tangible places, and the stock market's uncertain, like crazy. So people are looking for tangible assets to invest in, and then they make a decision on whether it's going to be an active for them or passive for them. So if I can appeal to the passive side of some of these investors by securing, you know, by investing in my fund that is secured by actual tangible real property, and buy them at a significant enough discount and provide them with a return, then that should be, for the sophisticated investor, a logical choice to make.
Right. Yep.
Damn, that sounded good. I wish. Did you record this?
I am. You want it? Now, as you can tell, I was having a lot of fun. I mean, this was one of the better days, right, of talking about notes. I think I started calling folks around maybe 11 o'clock in the morning, 12, you know, lunchtime area. And I didn't get off the phone until about 9 p.m. Just in general, I called some folks back. I said, hey, that's a great topic that you just brought up. Let me call you back. I got to make more rounds. And of course, I ate lunch and all these other things. But, you know, it was just a great day of having a serious discussion about the market and how to really engage with it, because it is drastically different from how it used to be. Now, I'm going to play for you one more clip, and this is from a good friend of mine. Most of these people are nameless, right? Because it doesn't really matter who they are versus what they say. However, this last person, I really respect her opinion, because she came into the space around 2012. So she's really someone who's very seasoned, and she was very successful in 2012 and moving forward with her non-performing endeavors. And she's also done some performing. She's an expert at title and closing and things like that. So she really is a wealth of knowledge, and she's great to talk to because she's just very down to earth. You would never know that this woman has as much experience as she has, because usually people who have that much experience, they're a little hoity-toity and hard to talk to. So very good friend of mine. We are going to talk about, in this clip, I ask her a question about inventory. And that is something that we've sort of skirted around, not skirted around, but dabbled on. But this is going to talk directly about it. And inventory is one of the two pillars of a successful note business. And I talk about this in earlier episodes of this podcast. If you don't have inventory and you don't have investors, you have no business. You need both of those to uplift you and stand strong as you continue to move forward with your business. Now, there will be feast and famine on those as well. Sometimes you'll have more inventory than you have investors to sell to, or capital, right? And then sometimes you'll have more capital and nowhere to put it because there's not a good deal around. And you're going to play that game and juggle back and forth and try to balance it for the rest of your career. There's never going to be a perfect balance. However, when you're out of inventory, it is the kiss of death. And we're going to talk about how that has played into so many note investors right now not being inside of this business. There's no background music for this one. This is straight from her lips, her opinion, and I want you to listen very, very closely. Okay, let's go. So that has actually been the people who said no. That's either their second answer or one of the first answers. I've also heard inventory.
Inventory was definitely an issue, access to inventory, because the problem of it is that the people that have the inventory do not play the game of let's go out on Facebook and share it with everybody. And so when you have all the shiny, sexy people out there screaming and yelling, creative finance, seller finance, do this, do that, I buy notes, I'm going to da-da-da-da-da, they don't know what the F they're doing. And so when you get involved in what they're doing, it's just a total scam. And so it freaks people out. And they don't know what we all had to learn. Some of us OGs had to learn was how to source those things themselves.
You too cool for school. Who taught you OG? One of your kids?
No. I'm original OG. What are you talking about?
She's like, I am an OG. They don't have to teach me nothing. Now, you know I am using a lot of personal restraint not to make a comment about the guru stuff, but I let my friend say it for me and there's no need to repeat it. So in conclusion, if you feel like you don't have the skill set to navigate a blue performing market, do not feel bad. There are very savvy investors who have gone back to either wholesaling or flipping or rentals because they couldn't find enough revenue inside of their note business to float them through this market. Remember, there are four business models of the note business: brokering, flipping, workouts, and investing. NPLs are only one aspect of this business, so don't get too caught up in not being able to do that right now. All right, so here's some questions that you may or may not have. I just wrote them down. So question number one is, how long will this blue market last? I would anticipate like at least another 5 years. Something could happen before then. Obviously, nobody knows the future. But based on history, previous market cycles have lasted anywhere between 6 to 13 years. Okay, so the last one was 8 years. It was from 2008 to 2016. Question number two is, well, if I form a performing business right now, will that business flop if the market turns into a non-performing market in the future? And to that, I say no. Remember that a non-performing loan market, an NPL market, is still 90% performing loans. And performing loans are cheaper and easier to obtain in those markets. You can do both at the same time. You can walk and chew gum. Finally, this one is not really a question, but it's more of a statement, is to stay informed. I mean, at the very least, check out my state of the industry so you know what the heck is going on right now. I mean, it's free. And if you haven't heard my state of the industry before, you're in for a little treat because I cover everything your guru and everybody else never covers. Mainly because retail people tend to talk about retail things. But I like a macroeconomic view of the note industry. What's going on in banking and real estate, and how is that going to affect me down the line? Here's a little bit of what I cover. First of all, did you know that the news coverage of Silicon Valley Bank going belly up was actually a ruse and a distraction from what was really happening in the general banking industry? We talk about exactly what that is and how that affects us and how that's not going to change. We're going to see more of that. We talk about the market cycle. Where are we in this blue market? How is that affecting us? And what does that mean in terms of how we invest in the future? We talk about asset trends in the note industry, how expensive things are, how cheap things are, and where to find inventory. We talk about a winning business strategy. Basically, hey, there's four business models. Which one's the best? And how am I going to make money today? Finally, we round that out with, hey, here is the strongest mortgage market in history, and here's how you profit from it. It's a great presentation. Check it out, noteinc.com/state2023. And if you're on our mailing list, you have an exclusive invite to come to the Q&A, and we will take your questions. We will have a discussion, and we will hang out. It'll be a lot of fun. I hope that you can come. Until next time, see ya.
You've been listening to a broadcast about note investing, real estate's best kept secret. Your mission is to subscribe to carry on with subsequent messages and visit us at www.noteinc.com. This message will end in 5 seconds.